First time I heard that song, I said, somebody's got to sing that at church. I'm glad it was you, Mackenzie. Thank you. Well, this morning I invite you to take your Bible and turn to John chapter 14. And I have found myself this month telling more stories about myself than I had intended. So I'm going to tell you that up front. I'm not real comfortable with that, but I do it to try to help you understand where I'm headed. My great-grandfather was an itinerant Baptist preacher in the Indian Territory. It's called Oklahoma now. But he worked out of Fort Smith, which was actually a fort back then, and he would go out into the Indian Territory and preach the gospel. His son, my dad's dad, so my grandfather, was very involved in church planting in Hot Springs. In fact, he and my grandmother and some other friends of theirs helped start a church called Second Baptist in Hot Springs. I told my son that story, and he goes, "That doesn't exist anymore." That happens sometimes. Churches start and they don't last forever. But the heritage of that church is actually still around and just in a different name. He was also a songwriter for Stamps Baxter Music back in the 20s and 30s and was part of one of the owners of that. And you're going, man, he's talking about himself today. Well, I have a cool spiritual heritage, okay? My dad was involved in all the things at church at Second Baptist. You know, when your dad's the music leader, you have to show up. You know, it's kind of how it works. He was real involved. And then he got married, and they began to have children, and they had my sister, and then they had me. And they enrolled me in the cradle roll. Any of y'all remember cradle roll? None of you are old enough, but maybe some of you. At Second Baptist, when I was just a week or two old. And Dad was finishing college. And finally, we ended up over in North Little Rock, going to a little church called Cedar Heights Baptist Church. And I'm telling you all this to tell you this. I've got a great spiritual heritage. I got a lot of cool things in my background. But none of that mattered. You don't go to heaven because your dad's involved in church. You're not part of the kingdom of God because your granddad is a songwriter. So February 17th, that was just a couple days ago, by the way, 1974, I knew something was missing. And I looked around, I was just 7 years old. I looked around at the people at church and I go, they've got something I don't have. And I said, Dad, what is that? And he goes, well, they've accepted Christ. And I go, I want that. And so we sat down with the pastor of the church there and he walked me through the process of what it meant to follow Jesus. And I asked Christ into my heart. Now, I'm telling you that story to tell you this. God loves everybody. And what I want to talk to you about this morning is kind of imagine with me a line across here. You're going, haven't we seen this line before? Yes and no. I want you to follow with me because I want to talk to you about the process that every person on planet Earth, listen, every person on planet Earth is on this line somewhere. See, I believe that God is the creator of the universe. Do you believe that? That God created you. Unique, special. Some of you more special than others. Some of you more unique than others. But he created all of us. And because of that, every one of us is loved by God. I want you to hear that. You, we talked about it at Beach Club this week. You are loved by God. In fact, let's say it together. Let's get real personal. Are with me now? I am loved by God. Do you believe that? Every one of us. But I want you to understand, just because you're loved by God does not mean you are a child of God. You're a creation of God. You're loved by God, but you're not yet a child of God. You go, well, all of us are children of God. No, all of us are creations of God. Let's make sure we get that straight, okay? All of us are born, and God loves us. We are created by him. And so let's look at the passage, because I want you to see this process that we're going to walk through as we go through this passage. Look at John 14, verse 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I'm going. And Thomas, our friend, said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Now, this text is written to record an encounter that Jesus had with his disciples. I want you to kind of get in your mind the picture. This was not a parable that Jesus taught in the marketplace. This was a passage that is recorded to help us remember Jesus sat down with his 12 disciples and said these words to them. And just in fact, a few hours after this, he is falsely accused, beaten, whipped, crucified, dies. Not too long after this is written, these words are uttered. And he shares with them this process, and he wants them to understand that there's something greater in life than just living. There's real life available. So follow with me as we look at this in succession. Look at verse 1. And I want you to see this. As belief begins, you'll be set free. Now, let's come back to our line. I've already told you that every one of us is a what? A creation of God. We're a unique creation of God. We're a special. There's no one else like you. Amen. Okay? One of you is enough. One of me is definitely enough. Y'all with me? Okay, amen. I got an amen on that. Great. All right. So here's what I want you to understand. Every one of us as God's creation is here. But I also want you to hear this. So some of you are here today, and this is where you are. Some of you are here today, and you have friends. This is where they are. They are on the line, and they have a belief, okay? But it's not a belief unto salvation yet. I want you to grasp this, because sometimes we think, well, that person is beyond hope. That person is beyond help. There's no way they would ever trust God. What he's saying is this. He says, don't be troubled. If you can believe in God, you can believe in me. There's a beginning point. Every person is on the line somewhere. Some are just back here at the beginning. They haven't come to the place of salvation yet. But belief is beginning to grow. Belief is beginning to start. See, some people say, well, I shared my faith with somebody this week and they didn't accept Christ. You failed, right? Not at all. They may only be here on the process. They're not there yet. They're coming along. So as belief begins, here's what happens. You begin to get set free. You can start moving forward in the process. You begin to understand. And what he's saying is, if you can get to the place where you can start faithing, that's not good English, it's good theology, faithing in Jesus, here's what will happen. You're going to begin to have your heart not troubled anymore. You begin to understand. These guys gathered at the moment are going to have some interesting days ahead of them. Think about these. Peter's going to deny Jesus. John's going to face serious trials. Judas is going to betray him. These guys have got some interest. All of them are going to have their lives cut short because of faith in Jesus. And yet, as they're beginning this process, they're being set free to go somewhere. So number two, as understanding grows, you grasp his love. Look at verse 2 and 3 again. He says, in my Father's house are many, do any of your translations say mansions? That's a word that was that came from the Latin, some of you are going, stop, Patrick, the Latin Vulgate. The word is, let me look, make sure I get it, said it right, is manse, is the word. And it really it does not mean, like we like to think, the big mansion on the hill. It means a place. I got a place for you. In my Father's house are many places, and if it were not so, I would have told you that I go prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What he wants them to understand is you're not really going to get this big mansion over the hilltop, as the song says. You're going to have a place that's way better if you continue down this process of not just believing that God exists, but moving forward and going, okay, he's got something for me. He's got a direction. There's the understanding is beginning to expand. In fact, the idea that he's saying here, it's bigger than this idea of just walking with the Lord and being with the Lord. He's saying, this is the idea of monai. There's the Greek word I was looking for, monai, in the Latin Vulgate that comes through. It's literally this, you get to abide with him. He says, I got a place where you and I, we're going to abide together. I mean, think about that. We're going to be together, and you're going to grasp his love and his presence and his blessing. And he says, I've got something great for you if you'll keep on coming down the road. Look at number three. Look at verse 4 and 5. And you know the way to where I'm going. And Thomas says this. He says, I don't get it. Any of y'all not get it? I mean, you're on the road. You're trying to understand God. You're trying to understand a relationship with God. Any of us that would say, no, I got it all figured out would be lying. So let's just be honest here. All of us get to this point at sometimes, right? We go, I don't get it. I don't understand. I don't really get what God, I don't understand where you're headed. I don't know what this is about. Help me out. So notice what happens here. As asking happens, you begin to find answers. Here's what Thomas does. He lays it out there. He says, I don't get it. I've been walking with you for 3 years. I've seen you done some amazing things. You've fed lots of people. You've raised a few people from the dead. You've even allowed me to be able to part of some of these things that are pretty amazing. And yet, now you say you're going to a big room somewhere, and I don't understand. You know, I used to think men were really bad about asking for directions until I got married. I'll stop and ask questions. I don't know where I'm going. Honey, I love you. But she won't ask anybody. She'll drive around circles. She called me one morning from Houston. She was getting ready to go on a plane to fly up to see her grandmother before she passed away. And she says, I'm trying to get to Hobby Airport. I said, where are you? She goes, I'm not sure. I said, give me some signs. She was over by Rice University. So I walked her through the process. I want you to understand that God is like that. He is ready to give you any answers you need to help you understand what he has for you. And Thomas comes to him, and I love Thomas because, man, here's a guy that gets kind of a bad rap. He's the guy that doesn't believe, he doubts, he's really unfaithful. I don't think so. He just wants to know. I want to know where we're going. I want to understand what's happening. And Thomas asks the questions. He says, okay, I thought you were coming to set us free from the Romans and going to become like kings and we're going to be powerful. And what Thomas does is he does what I call the preschool question. You know what the preschool question is, don't you? You tell your preschooler to do something and they say, why? 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 I got a preschooler in the house. I'm about to wring her neck the next time she says, why? That's confession. They say it's good for the soul. Anyway, but God's big enough to hear our whys, isn't he? Whatever your why is, your what is, your where is, I don't understand is, bring it to God. Some of you here this morning, you're going, I don't know if I can really follow God. I don't know if I really trust him or not. Why? He loves you. So you believe, you're set free. You understand, you begin to grasp his love. You ask, you find answers. Thomas is going to get an answer. Here's the answer. You ready? Verse 6. Jesus said to him, understand where he's coming from. They're sitting in a room together. He's telling them these things. These are about to happen. Things are about to change. Things are going to get interesting. And here's what I want you to hear. Thomas, you want to know the way? Here's the way. I'm the way. Now, does that strike any of you as odd that a man could sit there in the room and say, I'm the way? If he was just a man, it would have been weird, wouldn't it? But he's more than just a man. He's also the Son of God. He says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Man, we live in a day and age when that sounds awfully narrow, doesn't it? Oh, I can't believe you actually believe that, Pastor. Come on, you know, there's many, many ways to God. There's lots of pathways that'll lead you to the right destination in the end, aren't there? As you begin to accept this truth, I want you to understand wherever you are in this process, if you're back here and you're coming along, or you're in the middle here somewhere and you begin to get some understanding, or you finally have come to the place where you go, I get it. Jesus is the way, the only way, the only truth, the only life that I could ever experience. When you get to that place, I got there at 7. Miss Tebow got there at 16. How old were you when you got there? Have you got there? See, if you accept the Lord's truth, that he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, here's what begins to happen. You start to experience a new walk, a new direction, a new way. You move from a kingdom of darkness to a kingdom of light. You move from a place where there's no hope to a place where there's completely hope. That's what he's telling these people. He says, you need to understand, I am making the way possible for you to have life, a new way of life. And if you begin to water that truth down, here's what happens. You miss out on the truth of the gospel, because the gospel is this: Jesus came so that you could have life. And he is the only way to have life. But is that it? I got to the point. I experienced the transformation. February 17th happened for me. I'm done. Check. Of course not. Look at verse 7. We could read on for verses, but I just want to take one verse and look at it. He says this: if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. Look at this sentence. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. He's talking about the relationship that develops because of the point of conversion. The moment you accept Christ, you're not done. Why? Are you saved completely? Absolutely. But are you done at that point? No. He says, I want to develop a relationship with you of joy, of peace, an experience that is beyond anything you can imagine. And instead of living your life without meaning or purpose, you now experience fellowship, relationship, connection with God through Christ. And you learn to walk that pathway of being in him and be a part of his kingdom. So what do we do with this? Three quick things, and I want you to see it, and we'll be done. First of all, is this: faith leads you forward. Faith always, I should have put that word in there, always leads you forward. I want you to grasp the truth this morning that, and you're going to think, I'm not a universalist. I'm not. Listen, but I believe every person on planet Earth can grasp the concept of something greater than themselves. If you look at world religions, you look at all the things going on in our world, everyone thinks of something that's bigger than themselves. Some, it's merely the bank account. That's the big thing in their life. Some, it's their family relationships. Some, it's their possessions. Some, it's their spouses. Some, it's their children. Some, it's their grandchildren. But all of us have something that we can imagine that's bigger and more important than ourselves. But what I want you to hear this morning is God is giving you, and I believe he has for you today, faith to move forward, to listen to him. Let me put it this way. You're looking into an eternity without any assurance without him. But I want you to hear this. With God at work in your life, you can move forward and find his forgiveness. Don't run away from where God has you. Don't assume he's done with you. You say, well, I've done this, I've done that, I'm a mess, I can't. No, God wants to take you wherever you are and move you forward. Wherever it is. You go, but he can't. I'm here to tell you that our God can. He can move you forward. Second, the thought I want you to see is that Jesus has a very important place and role to play in your salvation. He's the one who opens the door. Now, if you look at these words and you say, well, I don't believe them. I don't believe that's true. are only the true words of Jesus. What you're saying is this, is that they recorded words for us to look at that are lies. And you go, if he's lying to us, then why would we want to follow him anyway? But if he's telling us the truth, you got to wrestle with this. You with me? Jesus is not a way. He is the way. He's not a truth. He is the truth. And he's not a life. He is the life. By the way, in the original language, those articles are definite articles. The. You can't translate that in a. He's not a life, a way. He is the way, the only way. And any belief system whereby there are practices or beliefs that are less than a sole reliance on the salvation work of Jesus at the cross alone is insufficient. Jesus opens the door. You say, well, I'll be religious. I'll be moral. My grandparents were. My kids were. My husband was. So what? Where are you? See, over and over again in human history, people have tried to develop systems whereby they go, okay, we're going to do this, and we're going to have this list, and we're going to have these things we do, and that's going to make us good enough that God loves us. And Jesus says, you don't need any of that stuff. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I think a good way to understand the gospel is simply this. God, in his infinite love and his wisdom, sent his son to open the door for you to encounter his love and his forgiveness. Your job is not to be good enough or moral enough or nice enough or clear enough, clear up enough of the messes you've made. It's merely to do this. Jesus, you're the way. To believe that he can give you life. I'd like to believe that the door stands open for many of you here today. Revelation 3:20 even says this, behold, Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. Jesus is the one who's opening the door of your heart. Ready to open the door of your heart when you open it to him. He's there for you. And all you have to do is say, yes. So faith leads you forward. Jesus opens the door. What's left? I don't want that. You got another one you can put up? I don't want joy. Do y'all want joy? I don't want joy. That just sounds like too much work. I mean, that way, I might even be happy if I had that. I don't want that. Do y'all want that? Hello? I don't want that. That's, oh no, not joy. No. See, here's what I want you to grasp. When you finally get to the place where God brings you to the place and you answer his call and he says, do you really believe that I'm the way, that I'm the truth and the life? Are you ready to follow me? And you say, yes. Great joy awaits. Well, I don't want joy. I want to be mad. I want to be angry. I'm happy that way. Y'all listening to me this morning at all? Come on. You might say, Patrick, you know, over the centuries, there have been people who've trusted Jesus and they've ended up some pretty ugly places. By the way, I'm not talking about situations where their smartphone didn't update, you know. I'm talking about ugly situations where their lives were in jeopardy or they may have lost their lives. God wants to bring to your life whatever he has for you ahead, whether it's a trial or a struggle or pain. He wants to bring you, get this, joy. As you go through those. Patrick, are you saying that the people that know Jesus actually have joy? That's exactly what I'm saying. You do. It doesn't mean you avoid all struggle. Doesn't mean you avoid all pain. Doesn't mean you avoid all difficulties in life. But it does mean this, that whatever happens in life, whatever you go through in your life, you find that his joy is right there. Because being in the middle of God's will is always the place to be. Let me ask you a question. I'm going to wrap up. Is God really guiding your life? Do you remember a moment? And you say, well, I don't remember the date. Patrick, why do you remember the date? Because I went back and researched it as an adult. I didn't remember the exact date. I know now because I checked it out a few years later and found out the date. I got the card and the whole bit. I know the date. That's the only reason I know that. I was 7. I didn't remember the date. I remembered it was a Sunday up until I was in college. And I got a copy of that card from that church and found out, oh, it was in February. I always thought it was in November. February, November in Arkansas look a lot alike, is all I can tell you, okay? But do you remember the moment? The moment when you met Christ. I'm a good person. Didn't ask if you're a good person. I'm a nice person. I didn't ask if you're a nice person. I'm asking you, have you met Jesus? I actually believe that the most important thing we can do as a church, as church members, as people who are part of this fellowship, is to tell others our story. This is what happened to me. I met Jesus. He changed my heart. He changed my life. He changed my direction. And he can do the same thing for you. The conclusion is this. I believe we need to be a people. And we're talking about loving our church, loving the lost, loving families. Next week we're talking about loving each other. Well, that'll be fun. Is that we have to love the lost by letting them know not a way, but the way. There's an old song from when I was a kid. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Jesus is the answer. I don't remember the next line. For the church today, I think it was. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer, guys. Do you know him? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for allowing us to be in this place today. Your word is true. Your word is powerful, and it changes us if we will let it. And Father, I pray that we would take a moment, even right now, to evaluate our relationship with you. Do we really know you? Do we really know you? Or have we been playing a game with you, God? Father, I pray for those in this place who need to truly trust you, God, that they would not rest until they have nailed down with you for certain that they're following you as Savior. Lord, we only have one time through this life. When our day comes that we are no longer alive, the opportunity to meet you is over. And so, Father, I pray for those who need to trust you today. Father, I wouldn't be so bold as even to, in this moment, Father, maybe there's someone here that needs to pray a prayer like this to you. God, I'm a sinner. I don't know you. I've been playing a game. I've never really trusted you. Would you forgive me of my sin of not following you? And would you come into my heart and forgive me of that sin? God, I thank you for loving me enough to send your son to die for me, to make the way possible for me to have life. And I receive that gift from you in your name. Father, I pray for those in this room who maybe prayed that prayer, that they need to share it with somebody, whether it's myself or Rick or one of our prayer partners, but just to say, here's what I did. I know you. I've trusted you, and I'm going to follow you from this day forward. Father, we pray your hand to be free in these next few moments. anyone who needs to make that decision, that they would feel freedom to do that. They would have comfort to do that. Father, there may be others that have other decisions they need to make. Father, we pray for them as well. Give them the confidence to take the steps they need to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's stand together and sing this song, but more importantly, you respond as God's leading you this morning.